little off topic today. I don't know. Yeah, we got subdued lighting, of course. It's not that I feel subdued. I'm just liking the shadows here. Greetings, everyone. It's the beginning of another week, and I've been getting mail over the weekend, a delayed reaction, I guess, to my first show, and people were starting to wonder about me. They say, Martin, you talk about meeting this Texas-sized meteor naked, and you've talked before about walking through the salt flats naked, and what is you? What is it with you and removing your clothes? Are you an exhibitionist? And my answer to you, and I've thought, I had to think about this. I take these questions very seriously. It provides me an opportunity for introspection, which I enjoy. I enjoy looking in myself. I have no feared corners within my soul. I like to uncover everything. So I'm thinking, why do I like that? And I realized what it was. And I'm going to share it with you today because I see an opening for truth here. And I'm also going to tie it into barefoot running because it's related. That's what made me realize that this is related. I was talking to you about running barefoot through this, the largest city in the Americas, urban barefoot running, and what a joy it is. 6 miles through the city. I had a little tweak on my foot, so I'm running shod here for a while until I get back on track, but it's a joy. And I'm trying to figure this out. And this is it. You know, we're encumbered by flesh, for one thing. Start there. Just start with your flesh. We are vessels of flesh, and it's so interesting to think that we are not comfortable here. And I've said this before, if you're comfortable here, you have a problem. Our realm is not inherent on the earth, it's inherent in the heavens. And it tells you that our comfort range here is so narrow. If it's just a little bit too cold, we need a sweater. If it's a little bit too hot, we need a fan. And so we have this very narrow range. And we're protected at night by blankets, and we're just such sissies when it comes to the earth. We can be easily fried, easily damaged, easily broken, emotionally or physically. And so this realm, I believe, is hazardous to our health. So we're looking to shed this flesh. And God knows many of you are physically debilitated in many ways, and it's a burden to carry these bodies. Paul calls them our bodies of humiliation. And he promises us through Christ that our bodies of humiliation are going to be changed into bodies of glory. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. Our realm is inherent in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a Savior who will transform these bodies of humiliation, turn them into bodies that resemble his glorious body. And I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, when you can't shed your flesh, you can try shedding your clothes and you feel unencumbered. I don't understand. I got to tell you this. Why people wear pajamas at night. To me, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. You're clothed all day, and here's your chance to take off all your clothes and feel at least a little bit free. It's like you're only wearing your skin. And yet, so what do people do? They put pajamas on with waistbands. I mean, waistbands are the demons of body control, of body bondage, I feel. It's just, and elastic, the invention of elastic has allowed people to get fatter and fatter in this life because elastic stretches. The best thing we could do for the obesity problem in America and in the world would be to eliminate elastic. And you have one size of jeans, and if you get too big for them, you have to spring $60 for another pair of jeans. So the elastic won't go with you. That's the way it should be. But anyway, back to this thing. You know, the Greeks used to compete in the Olympic Games nude. They would take off all their clothes. They would strip for the race. Paul uses this analogy. He says, strip for the race. I think he uses it in 2 Timothy. I don't know. Read all of Paul's letters, you'll find it. But the idea is to be unencumbered. And any little piece of unencumberedness we can get in this life, I think is beneficial when you can do it, if you can work it. Take off your shoes when you can do it. Take off your clothes when you can do it, when you can manage it, when it's not illegal, when it's socially acceptable. There's not many places where that is, unfortunately. Where do you get most of your joy in life? In shower and in the bed. In shower and in bed. What do these two things have in common? You're not wearing much clothes, or any clothes for that matter. It's great to shed those clothes, get in the shower. Kind of like a baptism, isn't it? Or a bath, whatever you like. Bath, showers, whatever. Because we're not taking our clothes with us when we're snatched away. And part of our humiliation in this world is the maintenance of our bodies. This is also very vexing to me. I guess this is another topic altogether. But Israel used to have to pay the temple tax. That was the tax that Peter said, do we pay the temple tax? And Jesus said, of course we do. Here, take, go into the sea, cast a line, bring out the first fish you find, put your finger in its mouth and pull out drachma for thee and for me. And that was the temple tax. And the temple tax was a humiliation for Israel because the nations were supposed to support them. And they had to support their own temple. And that's an embarrassment. Won't be that way in the millennium. My analogy here is that we are currently supporting our own temple. We get up in the morning, brush your teeth, gargle. You have to do some semblance of exercise. You have to move or you die. If you lay in bed, you'll get pneumonia and bed sores. God makes it so you have to do something. You have to move. Move or die. And so we're constantly popping pills, popping vitamins, trying to watch our diet, trying to exercise, and it's a pain. And we're going to be delivered that. We're paying our own temple tax right now, but we're going to be delivered of this constant maintenance because in the resurrection, our bodies are going to be like stars of heaven. They're going to radiate their own inner light, and they're going to maintain themselves, and it's going to be on autopilot. You won't have to think about it. How much time do you spend each day thinking about maintenance? What do you have to eat? What you have to wear? Women, you put your makeup on. Men are always looking down at their guts. It's just horrendous. Now, on to barefoot running. There's a great spiritual analogy here. Did you know that almost all the running injuries, all the knee injuries, back injuries, neck injuries caused by running today are caused by running shoes? Look it up. The danger of running shoes. There is a gigantic industry, multi-million dollar industry on protecting you. And I'm going to draw an analogy with religion. And I'm going to draw this with clothing. I'm going to say that naked is always the best way. But look at this analogy. The shoe companies say, we will protect you because you need it. Your foot, which is a beautiful, glorious, creation of God with so many different bones. There's more bones in the foot than I think most of the body. You take all the bones in the body. What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that I think something like a third of the bones in the body are in the foot. It's such an amazing mechanism for motion. But of course, the foot needs help. It needs cushion. It needs position. It doesn't know what to do. So the shoe companies will come to the rescue and they basically encase your foot. They put it in a coffin. They enshroud it in padding, and the foot just goes, F it, I give up. And so the foot is basically asleep inside a shoe. It doesn't know what to do, and so you're hitting the ground. You have no sense of what you're doing because the foot is designed to know how to hit. You're going to step lightly when you're barefoot. You're watching for objects on the road, and so you're being very, very careful. And if you watch kids run, I love this. I love watching children run barefoot because their form is perfect. Why? Because they're not thinking about their form. It's natural. But when people put these expensive padded running shoes on, they're running with their heel. It's called heel-to-toe running. And for years, I've run the wrong way. I realize this now. Heel-to-toe running is wrong. People strike with the heel first because that's what these padded shoes force you to do. Watch runners on the street. 90% of them, they're heel. And what this does is actually watch. If you're watching on the studio cam, here's the ground. It stops you. It stops your forward motion. You're supposed to land either midfoot or on the ball of the foot and spring off. Midfoot, ball of foot, spring. And your foot will naturally do that. Just try to run heel-toe barefoot. You can't. You automatically adjust. You automatically don't run this way. And so because people are running this way, they're breaking themselves, and the brunt of that breaking is taken by the shins and the knees. So you have shin splints, you have runner's knees, you have all these problems with the muscles of the upper leg, and any problem you have in the back or the hips or the neck start at the feet. And so in Israel, of course, people wore like little crappy sandals. And this is ironic, too. They say that after your running shoes are worn down, there's less injury with people who have worn down running shoes and who have padded running shoes. And you can spend $200 on running shoes today. And they have all these scientific, high-tech things that are screwing people up, but it's an industry. And the podiatrists are treating people with running shoes and with orthotics and all this crap. What you need to do is take off your damn shoes and trust your feet. Now, the analogy with religion is religion says, we can't trust you just with God. It's like children trust God. Children love God. Children laugh at the concept of God. And they know God loves everyone. Well, and that's my analogy is the human foot. Perfectly made. Leave the damn thing alone to do what it does. Leave these children alone. They know instinctively about God. But we get them into religious camps. Well, we have to protect you. We have to educate you. And so people are overladen then. Not just kids, but everybody. Adults too. What the heck's happened with my shirt here? How long has this been going on? Okay, sorry. You people need to tell me these things. So people are overladen with rules and laws, and suddenly that natural instinct that you have for God is demolished, and the natural instinct of the foot is destroyed, and it's encased. It's entombed in the shoe, and people are entombed in churches because in the interest of protecting you, the government, same way, will protect you, will provide for you. No, get the hell out of my way and let me provide for and protect myself, because my natural instincts are better than any governmental institution to tell me what to do. Likewise with my foot. My foot is much better than any man-made concoction of foam and stabilizers and all these fancy shoelaces than anything you can invent in at Nike or Adidas or New Balance or any of these places. And the same with church. People get ruined on God when they go to the organized assembly. They're ruined. They're ruined on God. And so, and to me, the human body is also ruined, you know, when we overclothe it. And it's not any kind of sensual thing whatsoever. It's really a thing of liberation. People have asked me about nude beaches, and what I say about that is nude beaches are not about seeing naked people, believe me. There are a lot of people on the nude beach that you really don't want to see naked. It has nothing to do with leering old men. It has to do with that liberation, the freedom of getting rid of convention, modern societal convention. And in a way, going back to Eden. And so there's so much energy we can get from the earth. My sister just wrote me about a guy who was dying of cancer, some guy from India. And he was diagnosed with some terrible disease. He basically just went outside to die. He was so discouraged, depressed, he laid on the ground, after waiting to die. After a few days of that, he got energy. There's energy in the earth. He got energy from his contact with the earth. Likewise, the sun. I mock people for hiding themselves from the sun. Here in Brazil, there are people with umbrellas. We don't want that beneficial ball of hydrogen touching us. There's a video out called Eat the Sun. Go to YouTube. Type in Eat the Sun. It's a documentary. Not sure you can get the documentary on YouTube, but you can find out about people who stare at the sun. You can only do this in the first hour of sunrise and the last hour of sunset. You don't want to do this at noon. I'm not recommending that. But people look at the sun for an hour at a time, stare at it in the morning or in the evening, and there's energy there. Jesus said, though, the eyes are the light, or something about what? Eyes and light. And the inner soul. It's a window to the soul. And I'm paraphrasing Jesus, but look up Jesus, window, soul, and you'll find it. But anyway, this stuff is so fascinating to me because it tells you that, for one thing, nature is not evil. For another thing, your instincts are basically good. You know those things you read on the internet once in a while about things I wish I did, people who are ready to die, things I wish I did, like, I wish I'd spend more time with my kids, blah, blah, blah. People say, I wish I'd spent more time barefoot. Yeah, right on. And I know it's hard to do that in the Midwest and the North in the winter months, but you do it when you can. And stand on the earth, stand on the ground, look at the sun in the first hour of the day. And it's a healing property. Likewise, when we look directly at Scripture, it's a healing property. It has healing properties, and we're not running this truth through an ecclesiastical body. We're not running it through a truth. We're not asking the great institution, the Nike of religion, to protect me from all evil. Nike, protect my feet from all evil. How ironic that their protection is actually destructive. And if the shoe companies went out of business today, the injuries would fall off. Nobody would be injured running anymore if the shoe companies went out of business and destroyed their stock. Likewise, some people are panicking today. Oh my God, the churches are closing. Good. The sooner you close all the churches, the sooner people will spring back to a natural, God-given spirituality apart from the meddling of the freaking institution, which I hate and I'm training you to hate today.